Our loving God and faithful Father in heaven, we are thankful to be in this house of prayer in this Sunday. And Father, as we would prepare ourselves now to open thy word of life, we pray for thy blessing upon us now, upon the reading, upon the opening of thy word, upon the reading of it. And Lord, that thou wouldst please provide the unction of thy spirit, Father, to be able to meditate as thy spirit would lead on the passage that would be before us. Help that all that would be said would be to thy glory, to thy honor, first and foremost, would be to our edification, and Father, would be a draw to those who are not thy children yet. These things, Lord Christ, we pray in thy name. Amen. Loved ones, a little bit torn between two things, I suppose, what the Lord laid on my heart earlier to be reading from and some of the thoughts from this morning's Bible class. I'm not sure how God would or would not tie those two together, but I'm led to remain with what Lord has laid on my heart, which is from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, is 1 Corinthians, and be chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. And while maybe with the Lord's help, we'll be focusing a little bit more on the second part of this chapter, we can begin our reading with verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, or field. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life, or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. How is your building progressing? the house that you and I are building in the Lord, how is that coming along? You know, reading through this particular epistle and having considered some of it here in recent time, somehow I realized I'm not moving through the text very fast, and I was questioning why is that the case recently, and somehow the answer came back to me that perhaps the Lord just wants me to think a little bit more about what I'm reading, and perhaps think a bit more about that as well. There are times when we read Scripture that we are able to maybe make progress and read through a text or a book or a chapter quickly. Other times it seems that even though we've read something, what we are reading simply requires a lot more time and consideration and thought. And I think that's probably how we all make experiences in the reading of the Word at different times in our lives. This particular epistle that is written to the church at Corinth, we know contains many different teachings from the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of God's Spirit. And this chapter begins by, the chapter begins as a continuum to what the Spirit has been leading the Apostle to address in this church at Corinth, which was a relatively young church. They needed a lot of guidance, needed a lot of instruction in many different areas of life. As it begins, we can see that there was some difficulties in getting along together, as it were, and the apostle was led by God's Spirit to begin addressing these things, and proceeds through this epistle by not simply addressing perhaps maybe the struggles they had with their lack of unity, but giving them the focuses that they needed within their walk with the Lord, I think, which would take them beyond simply getting over a struggle with a lack of unity, but teaching them many things about where their focuses should be. And in so doing, their walk with the Lord could be one that would be instructed by the Lord and would give them the right focus that collectively they would need that would help them, I think, within their corporate walk with the Lord as a body of believers there in Corinth. And so this particular chapter, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at that time is pointing some things out to them. And like, as I said, I don't really, with the Lord's help, I'm not led to dwell that much upon this first part of the chapter. But the Apostle had some things to say, pointing out that they were yet carnal at this stage in their walk with the Lord. And the example that he gave here was that there was this apparent focus upon individuals within the church, those who were used by the Lord to share the gospel message and the teachings there within the church. In verse 4, it says that one was saying, "I am of Paul," and another is, "I am of Apollos." And somehow they were, it seems to be, pointing out, they were maybe gravitating, the members, individual members might have been gravitating towards one or the other. Also in this epistle, we read of Cephas, who was used by the Lord there as well, and Barnabas. And the apostle heard news of this from the house of Chloe, if I'm not mistaken, and he is somewhat addressing these things to them. And it seems that for some, they had become distracted by perhaps focusing on certain individuals, who said what was said, perhaps how things were said, and so they found themselves distracted in this sense. And the apostle, through the Holy Spirit, is, I think, bringing out some common denominators in each individual who is used by the Lord to share the gospel. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And so we read these things as we can see that even in the early church, the membership there needed to be instructed by the Lord, and here using the Apostle Paul as this apostle to the church at Corinth, and giving them instruction on how to perhaps refocus on what it was they were hearing, as opposed to who actually the messenger was, and to understand what their role was before the Lord, that those who served in the ministry were servants. They were servants in the word, and they were called upon to speak the word as the Lord gave them utterance, but to rely upon the Lord and to recognize any type of growth or increase that would come from the sharing of the word would really come from the Lord himself, as opposed to a specific brother that was actually sharing God's word. And so it seems that this was something that they needed to hear, and we see that the message moves on. Paul writing, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And so the encouragement is given there that as we labor, as we share God's word, we can expect a reward that would come from the Lord, not a reward of salvation. This is not the message here, but the Lord in his own way will reward everyone who labors on his behalf according to the Lord's own choosing and reasoning behind that. But Paul goes on and he mentions something here. He says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So it seems that as Paul was serving in the word, he had this, God gave him this perception or this vision of himself, of what his role really was in the word. Though he would go to the scriptures, and as he would open them and expound, and he would be speaking to people and speaking words of faith, there was this vision he had. And this vision that he had was he was being used of the Lord and of God's Spirit to build. And the building he was building was not a material building such as the one that we are currently gathered in, but it was a spiritual building. And this is how he saw himself as he was used of the Lord. And the words we read, "according to the grace of God which is given to me." First and foremost, the apostle saw himself as really someone who was receiving instructions and inspiration from the Lord before he could ever speak these very things. And he could say nothing as a servant of the Lord except God would first give him the words to share and would give him the knowledge of what should be said and perhaps how things should be presented as well. The apostle speaks to his dependency upon the Lord even in the previous chapter when he describes the very way in which he delivered God's word, right? 1 Corinthians 2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I think, when I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of someone who was a man of God that was quite stable. He was very courageous. He was someone who was perhaps viewed as very strong in the Lord. And the self-description that the apostle gives himself here, in some way, at times simply does not match up with how I perceive the brother in my mind. It seems to be very different. It seems that the way the apostle describes himself was that he did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And yet we would think that this man being brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, if anyone had wisdom, and if anyone would have been taught how to be a teacher, this man would have known it. Because of the teaching and the schooling he had received in his youth. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Sometimes we think of those who share the gospel maybe the gospel being presented in this fashion, either because someone is uncertain or someone's confidence is shaken or what have you. But to the contrary, those who would be knowledgeable about the word, having read it for perhaps some period of time, we would expect that they should, and once, you know, knowing they had spent much time with the Lord, that these things would actually accrue to a sense of confidence, the way the gospel actually would be presented through the individual speech, maybe the way they talk and present things. To the contrary, Paul says of himself that his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so this type of a description, it almost seems that when the Lord works, there are times in our lives when he will work in ways that seemingly would almost serve to take apart the messenger in terms of the messenger's thoughts of maybe the way that the message ought to be presented, the thought that should be shared. The Lord at times would almost maybe work in a way to perhaps humble the messenger or to weaken that person, but not in a sense of disabling them or disabling the message that would come from the Holy Spirit, rather to enable it that it would be delivered the way God would want to see it delivered and know it would in the way the Lord would want to have it had spoken. I think in all these things, Paul, when he says in verse 10 of chapter 3, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, God's grace in Paul's life served to, it worked in a way that Paul realized he simply could not depend upon himself to come up with the message that he should be speaking, either in the way it would be presented or delivered, and certainly not for content. But all of that would have to come from God. And Paul saw that as the grace of God at work in his own heart and life when he would be sharing the message itself. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. A wise master builder. Paul had learned in his life that when houses are built, the first thing that needs to be established is a foundation. And it seems that there are different types of foundations. I wouldn't pretend to know them all. I'm probably aware of a very limited few of foundations in terms of their designs. Basically working those that have been made with concrete and things of this nature. But as I understand it, there are other types of foundations that, in essence, are more like metal fasteners that will fasten themselves to other immovable objects. And that serves as a foundation for a building itself. Be that as it may, the apostle here is not talking about a foundation that is meant to be, to establish, as it were, a support structure for a temporal building such as this one. But rather, the foundation would be for a spiritual temple, right? He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul, as he would share the message, he was sure to speak about a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And exactly how the Spirit would have led him to deliver that, we have much writings, many writings and scriptures that we can reference, but the one that comes to my mind is where the Lord is spending time with his disciples back in Matthew 16, and as he's there with them, he asks the question, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. And the Lord said that he would build his church upon a confession of faith that accurately identifies who Jesus Christ is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So faith in Jesus Christ, who he is, his relationship with the Father, that he is of the Father and of God, therefore a part of the triune God, and that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who has gone to the cross, the Lamb of God, there to shed his blood as a sacrifice for all who would believe in him, that we might receive the blessing of the forgiveness of sins and the mercy and the grace of God for salvation. These are the types of things that I'm sure the Apostle Paul would have been sharing verbally and that we have also recorded in Scripture. The Apostle saying in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, as a wise master builder, this wisdom being something that comes from the Lord, he wasn't tooting his horn here, right? He was recognizing the wisdom and the ways of God, and that this comes of God's Spirit, to build a house in this fashion, to lay the foundation. Foundations, I read many years ago, I'm not sure I remember this completely, but foundations in a house serve different purposes. A foundation is intended to hold up the weight of the house. A house has both dead weight, it's got a dead load and a live load. A dead load is the weight of the materials that are placed upon that foundation. And when that weight is placed upon the foundation, that foundation should not be sinking into the ground. So a foundation is intended to hold up a load. But a foundation in its design is also designed not to sink into the ground. And the third thing that was interesting to me was that a foundation is designed to be independent, to stand on its own, and not to rely upon the house or the building next door. But a foundation must be able of itself to perform to meet these goals in design. Jesus says in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One of the design criteria that Jesus has for his church is that his church will endure against all things that are contrary or opposed to it, even the very gates of hell and those things that will come out of the gates of hell and will assault the church. Jesus' design criteria when he builds his church, and he is that foundation, is such that whatever comes from hell, whatever opposition the devil will throw against the church of Christ, that church will stand. I'm glad that the Lord has chosen that design criteria, and to know that the church that Jesus has built will stand for all ages. So, in the building of the Lord's church, the first thing that comes is the foundation, faith in Jesus Christ. Himself, the person, who he is, and what he has accomplished. Faith in Jesus Christ. From that experience, according to this text, every man will build on that foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our salvation and the cornerstone of the church. But over the ages of time, building takes place upon that foundation. It is God's temple. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Taking care how one builds. That one word, how. Paying attention to how we proceed with the building process. When I was much younger and working alongside those who are much older than I am, was at the time, I found it very difficult sometimes to to follow those who were teaching me in the ways of building. In particular, I felt that there were many who were very, I don't want to use the word picky, but when things weren't like exactly right, we would lay a foundation, strike a line, and then you would take a wall and put that wall on the foundation. It needed to be adjusted to where the bottom plate was in line with this straight line. Well, if the wall wasn't quite in alignment with that chalked line, maybe it was a quarter of an inch off or something, or some, these men that I worked with didn't like that. And they became very agitated if it wasn't right. And as a young individual, I just used to think to myself, why should that make a difference? It's a quarter of an inch. Who's going to know the difference? When it's all said and done, will anyone even care? You know, over time, if you can justify in your own mind that really a quarter of an inch doesn't make a difference. And there are those, by the way, who are in this room who work with tolerances that are much, much less than a quarter of an inch. But the point to be made is this. If a quarter of an inch doesn't make a difference, then neither will a half. And if a half inch doesn't make a difference, neither will an inch. And if an inch doesn't make a difference, well, neither will a foot. And after a while, you have walls that are crooked. I well remember the day when I was at work and a man came to a home that I was working on and he was describing to me his job, and he happened to be a commercial superintendent. And he told me how that he had a brand new director as of that day, and he explained to me why his previous director, who was building a commercial building, was no longer at work. And apparently this man wasn't too concerned about when something was just a quarter of an inch off, which became a half inch off, which became an inch off, which became a foot off. And so he was taken up to the third floor of a commercial structure, which was well underway. And this man dropped a rock from the third floor, which was right next to the wall. And when that rock dropped, it was 3 feet away from the building. And you had a structure that was 3 stories tall, that was at least 3 feet out of level. Why should a quarter of an inch make a difference? How do we build? How do we build? How do we build our spiritual home? The Apostle Paul was very concerned and very careful that as a wise master builder, he would lay the foundation, and that foundation would be Christ. In this particular chapter, perhaps we can go back through the beginning of this chapter, we can review and we can see where the apostle was speaking to the church and saying, okay, now, you know, the way you're building here, you're beginning to focus on men, Apollos, Cephas, Barnabas, whoever the case might be, Paul. And Paul needed to remind them, that's not a very good tool. You need to use a tool, and it's a tool that actually goes back to Christ himself. And to remember that God gives the increase, and we need to be using tools that provide increase from the Lord. Going on. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work will be tried. I think in California in particular, we've become very, very accustomed to fires that happen every year now. And it seems that fire season just keeps starting earlier and lasting longer and doing more destruction. Fire. It takes people's lives and it destroys buildings that have been built. In our walk with the Lord, we are told that the spiritual house that we build, it's a house, as this chapter says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The reason for the home, or the purpose of the house, it is a habitation, It's a dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. It's intended, and the temple that we are is intended to house God's Spirit. Those of us who are God's children by faith, we have that. Those of you who wish to be, God willing, you will too. But this is God's desire, that his Spirit would indwell the hearts of men. So living our life as a child of God is likened then to building this temple. And once the foundation is laid, we build upon that foundation. Here it says that we should be careful of the types of materials that we use. Will it be gold, silver, precious stones? Will it be something that perhaps is non-structural, either a type of wood, hay, or stubble? I think of an example of the types of things that the Lord would want us to be using. As it says to us in the book of Jude, where it says in verse 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Faith, love, mercy, compassion. These things which are of God's good and Holy Spirit would be among some of the things that we should be using to build upon the foundation, using God's word, being conformed to the image of God through the love of God, through the keeping of God's commandments. The question is, as the Apostle Paul was writing this to the believers there at Corinth, he was exhorting them that these are the types of things that they should be paying attention to. Because apparently they had become distracted by looking at who the preacher was and what was being said, as opposed to the essence of the message and what the Lord actually was saying through the one who was speaking. The importance of taking heed how we build, because a time is coming in our life when fires will come our way, and they're going to try what we built. And it's not necessarily going to wait until the end of our life, right? Peter tells us about how that the trial of our faith, which is more precious than gold, right? Faith, which is more precious than gold, will be tried by fire. As God allows certain things to come upon us, those difficulties are likened to fire. And they're going to be, it's almost like this period of inspection, right? That we're going through in the temple of, I don't know, say this the wrong way, but the life of faith that we're living here. And it will try us. Have I prayed enough to get through this trial? Have I been in the Word enough to get through this trial? Do I love the Lord sufficiently to get me through this trial? Do I appreciate the mercy of God, and am I merciful to the extent that I need to be to get me through this trial? I think this is the question that, you know, one of the ways that as we think about these things, and there are times that we can ask ourselves questions in this light. So when difficulty comes my way, how do I respond to difficulty? When there is some level of fire, some scope of fire that comes our way, how do I respond to the fire? How do I respond to the challenge? Do I respond by thinking, well, it's some self-centered thought process? Woe is me. Why me? Does this have to happen again? I notice so-and-so, it never happens to them. Lord, it's too much. Aren't you asking too much of me? How come? On and on. If I respond to difficulties in life with these types of questions, is the Lord maybe revealing to me that I might be using some of the wrong materials to build this house that God has called me to build, this temple in which the Holy Spirit would dwell? I think of that in myself. I would like to think at times, well, you know, with the help of the Lord, as things come my way, God gives grace to live with new challenges, or to perhaps serve in different ways. But if I'm going to be honest with you, there are also times in my life when I realize that I kind of run out of maybe what I might consider to be personal willpower. And I may be more prone at that point to finding reason to, if not complain outwardly, maybe inwardly, or ask questions of why. The Bible says, as the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth here, right? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. As these times of difficulty come upon us, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If any man would defile God's temple, if any man will build in a way that somehow will serve to deconstruct or take apart God's temple. You know, we would like to think that in the building process, we are actually making progress, we're moving forward. God is working in our lives through his Holy Spirit, and as we follow him, he continues the building process. But we can make decisions in our lives that are contrary to God's word. That has the effect of not constructing, but rather deconstructing. Not strengthening, but rather weakening. And we can see this in the industry today. As we take a look at homes that are built, it's not unusual for houses in these days to not perform not nearly as well as houses that were built 50 years ago. I found it interesting that as we were walking two-story houses about a month and a half ago, and we're finding cracks that are all over the exterior walls, and asking ourselves, why are these cracks occurring? And realizing that these two-story houses have patios in the back of these houses. And homes that have patios on the back of them, the cracks were far less. Houses that had no patios, you had more cracks. So I guess these days, if you don't want cracks, you have to have a patio in your home. Because someone didn't care that it was a quarter of an inch off. What about in our own, you know, walk with the Lord, right? As we consider the Word of God and how God speaks to me, do I take the perspective that everything God says is important? Everything God says is important. Or am I willing to tell myself, well, I can afford to be a quarter of an inch off? As I look at a chapter like this, I think it's an encouragement to me to know that as long as we are alive in the Lord and we live our lives following the Lord, God continues to build. It is his Spirit that continues to build his house within our lives and continues to develop it in ways that would serve him to his glory and to his honor. And I think that the Apostle Paul was encouraging those at Corinth to be perhaps careful that as God would build, that they would follow. As the Spirit would lead, that they would follow. I think the important thing that comes out of this for myself is that as God leads, that I follow. And that I follow in every aspect of his leading. Whatever his word says, that by the grace of God, I follow. In doing so, the temple will be built. Storms are coming. The question is not, will a storm come? I think in my life earlier, I used to think to myself, well, I hope the storm comes and I'm gone. Jesus promised, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Tribulation comes. It's been here before. It's coming today. It'll be here tomorrow. It's going to come before Jesus comes again. Today is when I can make the decision of how will I weather that storm. Clearly, Jesus says the church he builds, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to be a part of that church and that building where the gates of hell will not prevail against it, as opposed to something less and to suffer harm. I'm thankful that the Lord would speak to us in these terms to encourage us that we too would be a wise master builder for those who may be here today who are not God's children yet, that you would reconsider and that you would allow the Lord to be the master builder of your heart and life. There is no other house that's going to withstand the test that this world will throw at us or anything beyond this world in eternity. Let Jesus be your master builder. And the house that he will build will be to his glory and honor. It will serve his purposes, and it's going to be a blessing to us. It can be a light to the world.